Well, let's turn the Word of God this morning to Matthew 6, reading from verse 22. It'll be up in the overhead. We can read together or look at it together. Reading from verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning, the word that we know as the Logos, Jesus, and we understand, Jesus, that we don't just say this morning, we can just say this morning, the Bible says, but also Jesus says that you are giving us these words. In the middle of two other brackets, you speak to us this morning clearly about what it is that we should and shouldn't be looking at, what it is that we should and shouldn't do with this eye, this instrument, this sense that you've given us. We thank you for the specific word this morning, and we pray, Lord, particularly for the application, how we are to live this out in the coming weeks, months, and years. Thank you, Father. So it seems in the middle of this passage looking at Matthew 6 that we have this short couple of verses spoken before about treasures in heaven and speaking after this about serving two masters to do with money, etc. But in the middle of these two teachings about money, it seems to be that all of a sudden dropped in here is something about the eye. You could look and follow the logic and say it doesn't seem to be particularly fitting necessarily, and yet there's a very good reason why this is smack in the middle of the two teachings regarding money. And we'll look at the second one in the coming weeks. The lamp of the body is the eye. Looking at what this actually speaks about today, it's talking about a portable thing. The lamp here is not just a lamp or the lights that we see here, but it's a portable thing, a torch, a head torch, something that we take around. And the reason it's important to understand when it's talking about the lamp in this context, the word phoros, it's the word that means it's something that we choose to take and light up where we are going, or choose to take and light up the thing that we want to see. Now, we came in here this morning. I've had a few compliments and a few, what's the opposite of compliments? Suggestions about this shirt. It's a bit loud. You can't help but see it unless you close your eyes. Now, it's a bit unfair for you guys to be inflicted on this shirt today. You have to really see it, or you could look maybe somewhere else and just listen. You could use the senses. But we're talking about the eye this morning. And it's illuminated even more by these lights, which you didn't choose to have on and that shirt you didn't choose to wear. But what I'm talking about here is the light that you have and the things that you choose to see, each one of us. The choices that are made, not so much in the dark, in contrast to light, but the choices we make all through the coming week. And there are an awful lot of them, as I discovered this week and looking at the application of this verse. So the lamp it's understood to talk about here is a portable lamp. It distinguishes from a lamp that's fixed. It's something we choose to take. And it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. The way in which we see things and it's taken in is in the eye. I'm told and talking to, not in talking to, but in reading stories from, we're going to pronounce this wrong, ophthalmologists, those who study the eye and how it is that your eye can be improved. Essentially, there's a saying that if you can't see, you can't be. We know all the senses are there and they're all important, but there's something about seeing. Years ago, I bought this amazing stereo. It was a really good stereo. You remember the name Alpine? And back in the day, it's an Alpine stereo. I think they still make them. And I have a very old car, which I put it in, and the stereo was worth at the time much more than the car. And I remember picking up a hitchhiker, and he said, he wasn't very complimentary about my car. He said, hey, amazing stereo, but use another word, but rubbish car. And I didn't quite know how to take that. But anyway, I took the compliment for the stereo. But I was driving along listening to this, and I started about that time, probably just a couple of years before that, and playing the guitar. And I was involved with an outreach and had to get a decent guitar, I thought, and so I splashed out on the guitar, which I still have. And both of them were very pleasant sounding, I thought, musically, the guitar and the stereo. Once again, the choice is made. If you learn to play a bit better, you hear more pleasant music, etc. And I often remember thinking, would I prefer to lose my hearing or my eyes? Now, that sounds, it's a Hobson's choice, a terrible thing to have to come to. But I remember at the time thinking, man, I'm enjoying music so much, playing it, listening to it, et cetera, that I think that I would choose to lose my eyes, which was, of course, a silly, teenage thing to think, or late teen, sort of early 20s. Because of course, you know, it would be terrible to be deaf, but even more terrible, I think, to not be able to see. So if you can't see, you can't be. And if you can see, the being that you have is often determined by what you see and what you choose to see. I used to think that things like eye was sort of, it wasn't something you could choose. I mean, when you have a food, so you have food and you taste it, if your taste or sense of taste is there, you will taste whatever is there. Much as you're having an Indian and you would really want it to be, not saying you would or wouldn't want it to be, but if you were having Indian and you really want it to be Chinese, it doesn't matter how much you think it's Indian, it will be Chinese in terms of ethnic food. That's just how it tastes. So whatever goes into your mouth, your sense of taste will process. But it's really the same with all our senses. If we decide we want to feel more warmth, we go to a warm place, or we light the fire, etc., etc. We put ourselves in the environment, in the position where our sense, whatever one it is, experiences, and often all five, or some of us six at once. So in choosing what to see, we can after a while say, I don't wish to see that particular thing anymore, it needs to be changed. And that can be direct or it can be indirect. Some of you will remember when you first moved into the hall post-quake, we had, it was a lovely pink colour. Can any of you remember that? The back wall was covered over. In fact, I think if you strip it back, you can see a bit of the pink. It was meant to be, remember the back in the 90s, you had watermelon and creme de menthe, those two wonderful colours that came together. There was even cars with that theme. So the colour of watermelon is a little bit darker than pink, but it reacted with the undersealer, the undercoat, I think, and ended up being pink. So we came in here to pink walls and green beams, and I'm not sure what the colour was between them. I think that was pink. So we had pink and green in here as a theme when we came here in the, I don't know, was it about 10 or thereabouts years ago? And we thought, hey, it doesn't really matter. We're here. We're grateful to have a building. We didn't have the carpet down and we didn't have the comfortable seats. We had those old stack of forms. But hey, post-quake, we were very blessed to have a facility to be at. That was where we were. We didn't think anything of it. But after a while, the sort of the pink became a bit much. Pink is nice in measure, but we had this sort of clash between the watermelon, which I think for some reason worked, and the pink that didn't work very well at all. So we changed the colour. We decided that our eyes did not want to keep seeing those colours, and we changed the back wall, ceiling, and the outside. The outside walls, or the inside walls, rather. So it's possible to change what your eye sees either directly or indirectly. And it can be, after a while, a group of people, a body of people, says, I don't want to see that anymore. They can say that for good or for bad, or they can say for something that, say, some people want to see, but the body says, this isn't what we want to see anymore. We want to see a change, and that can be sort of figuratively speaking, we want to see a change in something that means the optics is often what we talk about in politics. The optics are not good. The way this is perceived or the way this is seen is not good. So we can decide as a body to change what we see. We can decide in our own personal body, we can change what we see. So this lamp, this portable eye, is something we're told about here, that if it's good, and it says here, the lamp of the body is good. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So we're not talking about here, you can imagine physiologically whether your eye is good and you've got good vision, etc. It's talking about two different things. And the word good here actually means the word single. And what it means is, if you can imagine the old, now I'm dating myself here, but it's just a bit of a show of hands. Who can remember overhead projectors being used regularly? So, actually a good number of us. Okay, some of you guys won't even know what it is. But if you have an overhead projector and you put down a single layer, hopefully it's a new acetate and it hasn't been used before, it's pretty good. After a while, you can imagine those ones that have been scratched and sort of thrown around a bit, etc. There's more scratching and more staining on them. It becomes harder and harder to see. And if you lay more and more layers on, sometimes at an angle, it can make quite a difference. Sometimes, to make an illustration, if you're using a sort of a building up thing on an overhead, I've seen it done with different flaps that you can pull on it. After a while, it becomes quite difficult to see through, or the colour is deliberately changed by coloured layers that are here. The word good here is talking about a single layer. Unfolded is actually what it means. Single or unfolded, that there's nothing getting in the way between your eye and what you should be seeing. And in order for the eye to be good, you have to make sure there's no static no mist, no dust, no scratching between what it is that you should be seeing. It's not talking about whether your eye is good physiologically. And likewise, when it's talking about bad here, it's talking about an eye that's overstrained. It's looking at something that it shouldn't be. And we say that often when somebody is straining their eyes, looking too far, looking in low light situation, looking in darkness, trying to see something that they shouldn't. Because when the lights are off, the things we tend to look at, if we would not want the light to be on and our good friends to be with us and Jesus to be beside us, if we're totally honest, are not the things that we should be looking at. So it seems to be something about the eye looking at something and the body deciding it's going to portably take that visual thing, whatever it is, that lamp, to look at it, has an effect on the body. The body is either left in light or in darkness. And the warning here at the end, it says, therefore, if the light is in you in darkness, how great is that darkness? More so, I would suggest, than if we are, and this is making no reference to deafness not being a terrible thing, it is, but arguably, the light in darkness or the eye in darkness is a great, great, terrible thing. I just want to illustrate in Luke's Gospel perhaps a little bit more that might be helpful, because when this is spoken about in Luke's Gospel, it may give us a little bit more illustration. If we could bring that up, thanks, guys. So in Luke 11:33, it may illustrate a little more. It says, no one, when he's lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, same concept, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. And this is maybe an augmentation of what we see in Matthew's Gospel. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not in darkness. And the same, if you then your body is full of light, having no dark part, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. The verse I want to pick up there is verse 35. It's taking heed. So how do we do this? How do we take heed? How do we apply this? Now, I'm sure this application is very simple in understanding, but very difficult to do. Many of us have got unlimited access to our phones, and this is something that essentially is what our eyes look at, either often for good we would trust, but sometimes for evil, if we decide what it is that we want to keep and we want to store and we want to look at that's on our phones or is around us on our computers or anywhere around. And it seems to be that an illustration I could have is a head torch. So here we have, I'm working an old car at the moment. This is invaluable for seeing things that sometimes I don't want to see, particularly when you're seeing rust that you don't want to see. But with a head torch here, imagine, it looks a little silly, but imagine I'm going to shut one eye here, and here's my torch here. So this is what I choose to see. Now, obviously, this lamp doesn't help me see. At the moment, it's covering my eye. But if I have it here and I choose to look at what I'm going to see, I'm going to decide that this lamp is the thing that I want to focus on. Now, when you're working under a car and it's dark, etc., you don't need the whole bit lit up. You need the particular thing in front of you, and that's why it's obviously directable. And if you've got a head torch, it's an invaluable thing if you're caving or tramping or you're working on something. But we choose, if we decide when it's dark, what we actually look at. Arguably, when it's dark, we should be asleep, or we're watching something that necessarily is like a movie, it's in darkness. But if we're doing something and we decide that we're focusing on something that we shouldn't, I mean, I think the application is pretty clear. If I'm looking at this particular thing and I shouldn't, what effect does it have on the rest of my body?
Make yourself blind.
You can do that, yes. And as Jesus says, the whole body will be full of darkness, and what a great darkness that is. I wonder if we've considered just the corrosive effects of the things that we're not to be looking at. Because as it says here, in the great darkness that comes, essentially what happens is that this eye that's strained, it struggles to see the good things. And that's the challenge between the eye that is single, or the eye that is good, and the eye that is bad, the eye that is overworked. And there seems to be a warning here that Jesus is saying is if we get used to looking at things that are dark, the eye becomes bad in the translation here, or the eye becomes overworked. And then when there are good things to look at, we don't see them necessarily. Because of course there are outworkings of the things that we look and we say, I want to see it now. I guess that's the difference between the things that we say, I can't wait for the good thing to happen, I want to see it now, and look at things that we shouldn't. And I would say for young men particularly, it's looking at naked woman outside of marriage. One day you will have your wife to look at. And that should be enough. It's just putting it out there. Or it may be something else that isn't quite so clear as that. If we have a look at what we store on our phone in terms of pictures, there may be other things that we have that are good, but are getting in the way of the best thing. There may be particular items that we want to buy, cars that we like. In my instance, we look at them and say, I wish I had that. And it leads us to wishing and taking along the rest of our body. Because if our eye takes us somewhere, the rest of the body follows. The last thing I want to finish with is this word soma, which is the word for body. And it doesn't just mean our physical human bodies, it means the body of Christ. And the warning I think that's given here is if your eye or the thing that you use to see God's word or the thing that you use to illustrate what the body should be seeing and hearing and understanding is bad, then the whole body will be affected. I guess this is a warning for me, that if what I illustrate to you from God's word is bad, then the whole body will be affected, and the whole body will be, as it were, in darkness. Chatting with some folk this week, the concern is that more and more God's word isn't being preached as it should be, and it's not being exposed or illuminated by the lamp of the body, the portable. Now, in a sense, I'm portable. I'm your pastor, and I'm at your beck and call in many ways. But I'm also portable in the sense of if the leadership here said, Tony, we don't want so much of that type of preaching. Well, I may not stick around, but, you know, but anyway. If they said, we don't want so much that type of preaching, in some senses, it might be a change that might have to be brought. Now, please just rest assured that wouldn't happen here. But it can happen. And the portable light is taken and another thing is illuminated and the whole body is affected. So there's a double meaning in this, that the illumination that you use will affect the body. So passing it on from me to all who here that are teach, if you're a small group leader, if you're a ministry leader, if you're someone that regularly puts stuff out on social media and people follow you in any way at all, be very careful what it is that you're exposing. Be very careful what it is of the word of God that you are teaching and proclaiming. Because if you move away from that, the body of people that follow you won't always discern necessarily that a change has happened. The lamp of the body is the eye. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that as we consider what it is that we look at, maybe this is a very simple teaching, just those two verses, and yet we struggle so much with the application. Father, help us to consider what it is that we've got already, maybe images that we've stored up on our phones that need to go. Maybe, Lord, it's something that we are longing for, and these are good things, but they're getting in the way of the best things, the things that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to understand that we're to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, and these things will be added. This is afterwards. Help us to get your priority, Lord. If we see something that's good, say, Lord, that's good. If that's not for me, then let that happen in due course. Help us not to fixate on that and think, oh, I wish I had that now. Help us not to fall into covetousness and jealousy, where we say, I would want to have that thing for me, and I want to have that now. So Lord, I ask you would guard our eyes individually, you would guard our eyes corporately, and that lamp that we take around, that portable thing which illuminates and exposes what it is you want to look at, would be the very eye that you have given us. Help the body that moves the lamp, that portable lamp, to make good choices, and help our minds to be strong and begin to accept and reject things that we have thought, I'm okay, I'm mature enough to take that. Guard our hearts, Lord, by first guarding our eyes. Amen.